Those who have children for Children's Church, you can go on back now. If you're a guest with us, there's a registration back there in the main foyer that you can register a young one. They'll let them know where they're going and when they're coming back. But as you know, we take a moment. We're going through different lists in the Bible, and the list we're on right now is called the Fruit of the Spirit. So Jim Novotny, last week, we got to hear an excellent message by Lynn Zucker on love, and this week we're going to hear a little bit from Jim Novotny on joy.
Thank you. I didn't think I paid them that much, but as you know, studying on the fruit of the Spirit, many of them. Is this thing? Is this it? You didn't show me. What do I push? I don't want to mess up. It was that easy, huh? Thanks. Okay. On the fruit of the Spirit, one thing I don't want you to remember, it's easy to think of this whole thing, the picture of the tree, it makes sense because it's fruit growing. But as you see, remember, fruit trees, as in all plants, everything like that, needs to be nourished, protected from disease, watered, pruned. My point coming up here in a few minutes is that also fruit trees and everything else is not just need all those good things, but it's also under attack all the time. Insects, disease, drought, famine, all kinds of things. Today's fruit of the Spirit dwelling on is, that says joy, yippee. I don't think that's quite enough, so maybe we can get a little, there we go, that's a little better. The joy of the Lord. That's our subject for today. Joy defined. I wanted to write out a definition I could never find. I think dictionaries didn't help me at all because it really does not capture what I see as true joy. I found this, and I was thrilled about it. Joy is the settled assurance that God is in control of all the details of my life, the quiet confidence that ultimately everything is going to be all right, and the determined choice to praise God in every situation. I love that. It's more than just a feeling of happiness. It's not the same as happiness. And, you know, 2-3 weeks ago, I was sitting here hoping that the song this morning would be Oh Happy Day, because it sums it up perfectly. What's the happier day about? That my sins are washed away. That's what it boils down to. The joy of the Lord is our strength. It's okay to say the same thing as the fruit of the joy, or fruit of the Spirit is joy, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. It has to do with the source. I think I blocked, it's still there. It's the source of where the joy comes from, what matters. The Spirit, the Lord, it's the same thing. In fact, they're the same words all through the New Testament and the same root word, even in the Old, in the Hebrew. It's the same thing. Joy is joy. And God is the giver of joy. That's the point. One verse, one passage that just amazes me. Yeah, I know, I could cute. In that passage here, I only showed the last verse, but in that passage where Jesus sends out the 70, not his original disciples, but the 70, they go out two by two, ministering all over the place, and it says when they come back, nevertheless, they were rejoicing. They were all excited about what the miracles, the healings, the demons being cast out. This is what they're excited about. And I don't mean it to be mean to them because I don't really know for sure. It doesn't say exactly what they're about. But I'm guessing there was a reason Jesus kind of rebuked them when they came back for what they were rejoicing. And they would probably look like that and they're sitting there giving high fives. Yeah, we sure cast those demons out. Do you see those things flee? Do you see that guy get healed when I touched him? They're falling all over the place. And that seems to be what they're rejoicing about. I understand. Those are great things, and I'd be all excited too. But then Jesus turns him and says, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. That's what we really need to remember and rejoice about. Because, and I didn't realize the print was going to be so small. I didn't foresee that. I haven't done this before, so if you can't read it, lots of things over there that give joy. They're real things. They really do produce joy, but it's temporary. You might call it happiness. They produce that too. Can you read them? I don't know if where you're at. You can see them. Lots of ideas there. Enjoying friends, new car. What about worshiping the Lord? Bible study, seeing miracles. Do those produce joy? Favorite hobbies? Time alone with your sweetie pie like me? Yeah. Anyway, those produce joy. They're real, but then will any of those last by themselves? And I had to put the answer, no, sorry, not even worship or study alone will carry you through. That's just the way it is, but we've got to know this and understand it. Therefore, six important points. Joy is not a mood. Joy is not contingent upon circumstance. What's happening or lies, that should have nothing to do with joy. Joy is not an emotion, but will always overflow into our emotions if we activate it. Joy goes hand in hand with confidence and contentment. I not just believe it, I know it to be true. Hand in hand with contentment and confidence. Stirring up the joy of the Lord is not going to look the same for everybody. I am totally against people judging each other in the church because of what they look like. Oh, well, you're not joyful this morning. Do you know what they're going through? Have you ever thought about that? It really hurts when I see people intimidated because they're not showing the same type of joy. It could be loud. It could be a whisper. Some are just sitting. Somebody might have to kneel. They may be in tears over what's happening in their life. They still have the joy of the Lord. Please don't judge people. The joy of the Lord is absolutely necessary to live an overcoming, victorious life. Absolutely necessary. Most important time here for me this morning is hopefully helping you to recognize if you're in a place where no matter how hard you try, no matter how well you do at your job, raising a family, in every aspect of life, and you still find yourself at a struggle to feel the joy of the Lord, I understand. And if I were to say, I'd guess there's very few of us in this room that don't struggle with really the joy of the Lord being constant, that deep settled root that says, God, I can make it through no matter what. So I ask to conclude this time this morning, these few minutes, if you want. Stand with me, since a print's so small, how about if you want to, if this is something you need prayer for also, an agreement, stand together. I'll read it. If you can't, you're welcome to read it with me if you want. But if you find you need the strength, let me pray through this. You're welcome to bow your head. You're welcome to pray along, whatever you want. Dear Father in heaven, you have been patient with me and loved me even at my worst. I have listened to the lies of the enemy too long and want to see myself as you see me. I am determined to be joyful in all situations, but cannot do it in my own strength. I desperately need your help. I repent of my weakness, my laziness at times, believing that you are not loving me in the midst of difficult situations. I am sorry that I continually think that man's hurtful words are true about me, instead of dwelling on your good and perfect thoughts towards me. I here and now rejoice in the fact that I am yours and you are mine. I rejoice in knowing that you will never leave me, hate me, or reject me. Help me to never whine or complain about life's trials, but instead remind myself that your grace is sufficient to see me through them. Please, right now, dear God, restore to me the joy of my salvation. Renew a right spirit within me. I need you. I need your joy to give me strength as I go about your business on this earth. From here on, help me to rejoice in the midst of all things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Jim. Amen. You did it. You did great. Thank you. Amen. Joy of the Lord. You know, the blessing of all this, when it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, it's available for all. It's not for a select few, so we can all participate in that. I'm going to take a few minutes, you saw in the bulletin, just share a little bit about snares in our life. And this is not a drum. This is snares in our life. And Justin, if you could pop up the first verse there that we're going to show. And, you know, Isaiah 61, and I would encourage you to read that over and over again because it's so details and shows how much what Jesus came to do for you, came to do for me, came to do for you. And Isaiah 61, we're just going to read the first part of the first verse there. It says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. So what is a snare? You know, a snare is basically, it's a trap. And as here, you can see there's snares in each one of those pictures, but they're hard to see. And a lot of times, a snare in our life, it's hard to see. That's why it's called a snare. It's a trap. The point of it is to capture you. The point of it is and then depends what's going to happen to you after that, but it's to capture you. The Bible says that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the fullest. So what does it mean to have life to the fullest? You know, that when it says the thief wants to come, steal, kill, and destroy, well, one of the things he wants to steal from us is our joy. You know, he wants to steal the food of the Spirit from our lives. So do we have any control over these snares in our life? Do we have any say? Well, you know, some we do. Some we don't necessarily have control over the amount of snares in our life to begin with. For example, we don't have control where you're born. You know what? Where, I mean, it's there's a whole different picture if you were born over in Syria and you're a Christian, you know, or in Iraq, Iran. There's different things that they have to deal with. We don't have control over who our parents were, you know, what necessarily sometimes what how our upbringing, what we experienced in that, and all the blessings or the traumas and the negative. There's things that life throws at us. You know, people who are living godly Christian life, situations happen. You know, there's things that just are out of our control. The issue comes then is, out of that, what kind of snares are lying there, and do we need to step into those snares? Can we be free from that? And as we saw in the verse there in Isaiah 61, that God, Jesus came, that we don't have to feel entrapped by where we live, by our upbringing, by the circumstances in life, that we could be set free. Psalms 25:15 says, my eyes are ever on the Lord, for only he will release my feet from the snare. There's a very familiar verse. It's found in John 3:16. And I remember right after I got saved, I knew nothing about the Bible. I was going to Ohio State University, and all I knew was that verse. That's the only verse I knew of the Bible. And I remember this guy came up to me one time, and he goes, you're a Christian? I go, yep. He goes, so you're going to tell me that the only way that, I don't think I'm going to tell you that story, because what he said, I'll just say, he basically said, if you tell me that, then I'm going to say some things to you, which he did, and it wasn't, but anyways, so I just started thinking through, maybe I won't explain what he said, but this verse says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. You know, I like, though, we really focus on that verse, but the second verse after this verse is so powerful. Really, this is very important, but the second verse after this, it says, for God, can you advance it there, Justin? Stuck. For God did not send, thank you, his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. There's an image that we can get that God is out to condemn us. But really, the whole purpose Jesus came was to set us free. And if you go on down in the next verses there, it talks about our reaction, how we deal with that freedom. So, you know, it starts talking about the fact that God sent his son, and yet we realize that we have issues in our life. And so God sent his son, and when we see that, then there's choices we have to make. Are we going to walk toward him, or are we going to walk away from him? You know, as a Christian, we have a choice how close we want to get to God. You know, I have a choice how close I want to get over to Denny and Deb. It's my choice. You know, it's my choice how much I can go right here. You know, but God's not going to do that. He's not going to say stop. Oh, high five. Okay. Now, see, there's a misconception there that we have of God. So we think, oh, God's rejected us. But yes, you say, how you put your hand out. Yes. Anyways, we have a choice, though, of how close. And sometimes we can feel like, you know, God, I'm good. You know, in our Christian life, we can say, you know, I'm better than I was, so I'm good here. Because I know if I go over there any closer, that can mean I've got to change. That can mean there's something else you might show me that may be wrong. That I might, that something I have to do. Maybe I'm messing up some way. Maybe I'm not being the husband I should be, or the father I should be, or the employee I should be, or maybe I'm not being the man of God, or living the Christian life for your son. Maybe I'm not doing that. But you know, if we put this in context of what we just read, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. So as we move closer to God, it's not that we're going to be condemned, it's that we're going to be saved. The purpose of moving to him, and so it's our whole mindset of what we see that God's doing. And it's our choice. You know, it's our choice whether we want to stay in a snare or not. It's our choice whether we want to live there or not, because God said that he sent us to set us free. There's a verse in Proverbs 29:25. It says, fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord will be kept safe. You know, we just talked about that. A fear. Fear is one of the biggest snares the enemy uses. Fear of God, fear of each other, fear of the church. People are afraid, well, I don't go to church because they're going to condemn me. They're going to judge me. They're, you know, I don't want to, you know, I've heard stories of people who have left churches because they didn't want to do any particular, they didn't want to do this particular ministry anymore, a particular service, but they were afraid to tell people in the church because they might feel that they look at them wrong. So instead of their answers, just, well, I'm just going to leave church. Fear can be a great snare inside of us, and God wants to set us free from that. We talked about this a few weeks ago. Unforgiveness, it's a huge snare in our life. Bible says, in Ephesians says, in your anger do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. You know, it doesn't mean we're not going to feel anger, but what we do with that anger. Unforgiveness. If I would say there's some major things to evaluate yourself, one is, as far as a snare, God, am I walking in fear? Is there some kind of fear that's ruling my life? And it could be very subtle, it could be very big, that you need set free from. God, is there unforgiveness? And we think, well, you know, unforgiveness has got to be some major thing. But you know, anything that's deterring you from a relationship or deterring you from God's purpose because of somebody or something maybe, and it could be even something that the church does. Well, I don't like the way they did that or this or that or this is going on or this person did that. It's the whole thing is the fact of are we free to walk in it? Is unforgiveness or somebody controlling our life? Or is God controlling our life? And so these are things I think, as far as Christians, these are two very big things that we have to look at. In Colossians, it says, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. You know, there's a lot of philosophies being thrown out there, a lot of thoughts, a lot of opinions, even in Christendom. I mean, there's all kinds of things that are being taught, you know, because of people's desires. And, you know, the best way to keep safe, the best way is to be in the Word of God, to look in it. The reason he gave us this, again, if we go back to John 3:16 and verse 17, he didn't give us this to condemn us. He gave us this to save us, that we can go through and say, God, you know, you said in here that I'm supposed to walk in this abundant life. Lord, you said I'm supposed to have the fruit of the Spirit. I'm supposed to have this freedom. God, and as you begin to see and say, Lord, this is the light. You know, as we begin to see in the Bible what he promises and who we're supposed to be, then we begin to say, God, I don't have that. But I want free. I want to have that because you gave that. You came that I can have that. You know, some other scriptures. In 1 Timothy, it talks about the temptation of riches and how that can capture us. You know, God wants to bless us. And there's nothing wrong with having stuff. It's the fact of, does the stuff have you? You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 10:22 says, the blessing of the Lord makes us rich. And he adds no sorrow to it. If we look to God to prosper, and we're letting him be in control, there won't be sorrows with it. But if we're just out there to prosper, and that's our main goal, sorrows are going to come. There's things we're going to regret. There's going to be things, Lord, I wish I wouldn't have done that. How many stories have I read of multimillionaires
who said they wish they would have not done that. Guys who laid in bed have fortunes who said, I would give every bit of my money away if I could just have one of my children here right now today. And so it's one of those things that we let God control. God wants to bless us, and he wants us to prosper, but it's letting him be in control. In Luke, Jesus says, be careful or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life, and that day will close on you suddenly like a trap. There's something about the cares of life that, and even that can become a trap. Does that mean that we're not responsible people? No. But that means that we need to watch that it doesn't become a snare, and it's basically getting in the way from between us and God. Even our victories can become a snare. The things that we're victorious in. You know, in the Old Testament, Gideon, there was a man named Gideon that God called out from no place. I mean, this guy was fearful, made this huge, giant victory in his life where Israel went out and conquered, you know, beat some other armies and set Israel free. And then it says, and then he got back and he said, well, what can we do for you? And they gave him some gold. He made this, basically it's called an ephod, and it's just his garment. And all of Israel and his family started worshiping it. So this very thing that God turned, it was a victory, became something that snared them. The Bible actually says it became a snare to Gideon and his family. So even our victories, we got to watch them and say, I'm victorious, so I'm just going to stop right here. Anything that stops us in progressing in our walk with God is a snare. God does not want us to stop. God does not that we can't have contentment, but when we become comfortable and we just say, I just like it the way it is, I like it the way it was, you know, I don't want to change, something begins to become a snare. And you know, if we saw in those pictures at the beginning, snares are very much comfortable. It's around our environment. It's usually things that we're used to. That's what entraps us. And being careful that, again, that we're not progressing in our walk with God. There's a verse in the Bible, and it says, yeah, that's a nice Joe neck. It says, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you're tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. I know all of us probably have been involved in some kind of escape plan. Whether in elementary school, high school, I know in our house, when we lived on Summit Street, it was the pear tree in the back. That was the meeting place, you know, or it's the mailbox out front. You know, God has given us an escape plan. You know, we don't have to sit there again and, okay, God, I know no temptation has seized me. I know I can have this victory, but how? How can this happen? You know, Christianity is not complicated. In 1 John says, we overcome by our faith. It's very simple. Christianity is very simple. It's a relationship. You know, the whole thing of Christianity is not to have a relationship with a religion. Amen. It's to have a relationship with Christ, with God, the living almighty God. And so in James, James basically, the book of James tells us what this escape plan is. It says, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. There's a place when we're fighting temptation, you can get very weary just fighting temptation. You know, and our goal is not to fight the sin. The victory over snares, the victory of things that's trying to hold us, is the fact that first step is submitting to God. Really, what's happening there is our focus. Instead of looking at the sin, looking at the struggle, looking at this problem or this trap, what I'm looking at is him who can set me free from this trap. I'm looking to him to save me. So I'm saying, God, I need you. Those are words that are so powerful in a Christian's life. God, can we say that together? God, I need you. And there's things that he helps us. As soon as that happens, something begins to trigger. Our position, the snare begins to loosen. There is a point that says, resist the devil. It's not God's going to come down and do it for you. There's a point, our part. But then the second part, that's sort of like a sandwich effect, says, but then come near to God. Come near to him. Resist You know, submit to him, resist, but then draw near to him. Begin to say, God, you're just awesome. God, you have power and victory. You set me free on the cross. You died and resurrected that life. You sent your Holy Spirit to set me free. I'm going to ask if our young people who I talked to earlier will come on up here. You know, there's something within us that God has given us. It's not just totally up to us. If you guys could be down near, except for Mitch. Oops. Help me, Mitch. So these guys, oh, by the way, this young man here. Kevin, Tuesday night, something very cool happened. There was a new award that was given at Pleasant for the athletes, and it's supposed to be given, for my understanding, to an athlete for the next 10 years. And can you tell us what the name of that award is and what it was for?
They called it the Kevin Taylor Award.
So for those who are visiting, this is Kevin Taylor. And what was that award given for?
Modeling effort, attitude, and toughness on the field and off the field.
And so for the next 10 years, they're going to give the Kevin Taylor Award based on what the examples. Kevin's a senior. He's going to graduate. But based on what this young man set for the next 10 years. So, Kevin, congratulations. And if you just stand right here, Colin. Don't you stand right here, Marlena, right there, and Katie, you go over here. So, you know, God, the nice thing is God hasn't had us do this to try to get through snares. Come on over here, bitch, and you're going to go that way. God has given people in our lives to help us, and so you guys do what I ask you to do, and Mitch, these guys all represent snares. So they're going to try to capture Mitch as he's going by. So Mitch, walk forward slowly. Keep on coming. So Mitch, stop. You're not allowed to make a step. You have to stay still. Mitch, come to your left a little bit. You guys try to get him. Okay, keep coming. Keep coming. He's not allowed to chase him. He's allowed to reach out and grab him if he can. And you know, some of these snares have longer arms than others. Stop, Mitch. All right, go to your right a little bit farther. You have to go, yeah, a little bit farther. Yeah, all right, go forward. Go forward. All right, good. Okay, keep going. You can go pretty quick there. All right, stop. Go to your left a little bit. All right, come on over. Come this way to my voice. Come to my voice. There. Of course, the voice is going all over the place. Stop. All right, this is going to be. Now, Mitch, on the count of three, you're going to run as fast as you can. Turn a little bit to the left, a little bit angle your body right there. You run as fast as you can. Now, you girls aren't allowed to move. Toward just straight ahead, as fast as you can, like you were running for the Super Bowl championship. Ready? One, two, three, go. Break, keep going. Stop. All right. Do you know, in life, God, thank you guys. You guys stay up here. In life, God doesn't, we don't have to do it on our own. There's a responsibility in the body of Christ for us to help one another not get captured by snares. And I would like every person in this room that's 25 and under to come up here. And the rest of us are going to pray for them and believe for God for these ones not to be captured in the snares of life. And what I'm going to ask the rest of you, once they're up here, if you would stand. Everybody's 25 and under. Come on up. She just tell me what we're having for lunch. What I'm going to ask, we're going to ask if you would extend your hands out toward these ones, and we're going to believe for God. And as you're doing that, also that you're making a commitment to help ones, to not fall in snares. Doesn't mean that we have to go and tell them every single thing they're doing in life, but at least to be there to you know, it's what parents are for. But that's not just parents. It's us. It's the body of Christ and for one another. So, Father, we just ask even now as we extend our hands out to these young ones, Lord, we just ask for you to just help us to help them, God. Lord, right now we cancel every plan of the enemy, every snare that has even now tried to grab a hold of them. And we just speak freedom to them, God. Freedom, Lord, from the things of this world. Freedom from fear. Freedom from unforgiveness, God. Freedom from false teachings and philosophies of life, God. And all the things of this world, God. That they can walk, that they would know, God. That they can run toward the light, God. Run to the light of you, Lord. We thank you for it, God. We ask your blessing upon them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. We'll be seated. And I'm going to ask if our musicians would come back up. And, you know, one of the things that real quick here, parents. I'm going to ask parents and employees. These are two things. And employees. Just a release of, if we go ahead and stand. Sometimes, you know, as parents, we can just walk in unforgiveness to our kids because of things they did or things they should have done that we thought they should have done. As an employee, we can walk in unforgiveness to an employer. And just believing for that, for us to release that today. So if that's you, why don't you just come up and say it?
Okay.
So you're on.
Am I? Okay, thank you. Oh, there I am. Yes, what I was saying to him, I went along with what he was sharing about snares, but even before he was giving that message, because I didn't know that he was going to be talking about that, I was sensing from the Holy Spirit that there were parents here today of all ages that it would be very refreshing to forgive your children. And the second thing was employers. To forgive their employees. So if there are employers that need to forgive their employees for some reason, whatever that is, that's the thing I was whispering. It wasn't lunch.
No. Yeah, you need to forgive me. So Father, we just, even now, Lord, we just lift up to you, God. Lord, parents and employers, Lord, ones of us who need to forgive, we just release that to you, God. Lord, we submit to you, Lord. We resist unforgiveness and we draw near to you, God, this day, that we can walk in the forgiveness and freedom, Lord, and not the traps of the enemy. Lord, we thank you, Holy Spirit, even now as each one of us, Lord, that we would be aware of the snares of this world, God, the snares of the our flesh, the snares of the world, the snares of the enemy, God, that we can be free in you, Lord. We would be free from the snares of religion, Lord. We just welcome that, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to ask our personal ministry team if you would come on up. These ones up here up front are available to pray with you about whatever you would like prayer for. It's confidential, it's private, whatever you like, they're available. And you don't have to be a member here to get prayer. Anybody who would like prayer can come on up and receive prayer. We're going to close in a song here, and Ryan's going to close in prayer. Right after that, I would encourage you, maybe take about 3 minutes, find some people you don't know and get to know them. But be free. God came and realized he did not come to condemn you, but to save you. And run to him because of that. He is always the direction we should be heading. God bless you.